Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
It is great to see you this morning. It's nice to have the youth group up there with the choir, isn't it? And this morning we're going to hear from our youth group. They took a trip to Detroit and worked with Life Changers, and I'm excited to hear. I've already heard a bunch of reports, but I'm excited to hear from all of them this morning. Well, very quickly, if you'll take your bulletins, we need to get through our announcements as quickly as possible this morning. First thing, there's going to be a very short business meeting for all of our members following the morning service, so keep that in mind. And it is backpack time again. We are starting to collect items for the backpacks. There's a display at the Welcome Center. If you'd like to contribute to that, then go ahead and do that, and we're going to distribute the backpacks on August 28th. We are also having on August 14th an Asian-themed church potluck. And it will be right after the morning service. And so sign up to bring a dish for that. Youth group will be meeting tonight. And so teens, make sure that you're ready for your meeting. And we have an Awana meeting next Sunday after the morning service. And so all those that, if you helped with Awana last year or you would like to help this year, right after the morning service next Sunday, you will have a meeting. And then there's a Wings of God Kingdom Builders event, August 3rd from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. And you can go and learn more about the Wings of God Transition Home. It's a place where ladies go to get back into mainstream society who have been incarcerated. And so if you're interested in going, see Lynn Anderson or Krista Asher, and they'll help you with the details so you can be part of that. It is a big morning this morning, and we want to get right into the service. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for your amazing grace that you would save a wretch like me and that you find us. And when you find us, Lord, you don't just meet us once and say, okay, good luck with the rest of your life. You are with us for the rest of our lives. And this morning as we meet together, you are here with us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells us, guides us, teaches us. And Lord, as there will be many things that we're able to rejoice in this morning because your Holy Spirit is strong at work within us. I pray that we would not miss the blessings that you are going to share this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would be strong in our faith. We would be faithful in sharing that faith and in passing it down for not just ourselves, but Lord, for the generations to come. And so, Lord, to you be all the praise and glory during this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to take a quick moment to greet those around us.
You're making your way back to your seats this morning. Remain standing as we sing, Whom Shall I Fear?
You hear me when I call. You are my most
shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. No troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory.
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. Second Kings, it says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with him. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire, round about Elisha, the God of angel armies. Aren't you glad this morning that we have blessed assurance because we serve the God of angel armies? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song.
my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song.
Opportunity to have a baptism, and this is Bob Pritchard, and Bob, he had quite the journey to get to right here, and about 6 months ago, he trusted Christ as his Savior right here at the church, and it's been a hard, hard journey for him. And so, Robert, go ahead and share with us.
Morning, church. I'm Robert. It's been a hard struggle in life, made a lot of bad choices in my life. Still struggling today. Didn't know why I was or who I really was at all. Caused a lot of people close to me that loved me, a lot of grief in life through my choices. You know, and most of all, I heard God. But I know God today. I know where I'm at. I know who I am. You know, and I'm ready to make them right choices. I know I belong, and this is where I'm going to stay, with God.
Now, this morning, as Robert was getting ready to, he got invited to go to a different church this morning, right? And he said, nope, and he rode his bike from the gospel mission to here. So, in the rain. And he came in, and Phil Bleese, it's good to have Kay and Phil back in town, huh? Phil grabbed him and talked with him. And, you know, as Bob, if you've been struggling through life, obedience to Jesus Christ is what you need. And today is the first step of that obedience. You're not. The great thing about this, if you wonder why get baptized, he's not getting saved this morning. He's already trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. But God wants us to live in obedience to him. And this obedience allows future obedience. But when we refuse the first step of obedience, it's really hard to take step 2, 3, 4, and 5. And so this morning, as Bob gets baptized, I hope that he's an example to you of obedience to Jesus Christ. Not being a perfect person, right, Bob?
No.
But being obedient to what God wants for you. So, when I dip you back, bend your knees. All right, Bob. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you a child of God?
I'm a child of God.
Bob, based upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism. raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray together, everybody. Father, I pray that you'll be with Bob, that you would surround him with your goodness, encourage him with your strength. Lord, that this church, his family at 12th Street Baptist Church, that we would help him to live a holy and righteous life. That, Lord, when he falls, we'd be there to help pick him back up. And, Lord, when he succeeds, that we would jump up and down and celebrate with him. And so, Lord, we just thank you for his commitment to you. Thank you for the step of obedience. And we pray now, Lord, for many years of future obedience, where he does great things according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the baptism of Bob today. We just thank you for the ministry here. And as we take up this offering, we just pray that we can forward the ministry here at 12th Street. Now, Lord, just go with us as we take up this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.
amazing week. I am still in awe of all the things that we did this week and how God blessed us. I was on the green work crew. I had Lauren Roberts with me, and nobody else on the team, you know, we didn't know anybody else until we got there, but we did, our green team did a lot of mowing and hauling of brush and big tree limbs and trimming things back, and I think they expected us to get maybe, for the whole week, maybe 4 or 5 lots done, and our team got about at least 12 lots done. We worked really hard. And I heard the same thing about every other team, that they got a lot more done than they expected us to get done. Lauren was a mowing machine. I've never seen the girl work so hard. But our teams had great attitudes, and the people in the neighborhood were a blessing to us as well as we were to them. There were many cars that stopped and thanked us for what we were doing, would bring us little treats down, you know, popsicles, make sure we had water and trash bags or whatever we needed. But it was a very cool experience. Then we go home and or back to the school and have some lunch, and then we'd go into our backyard Bible clubs. And the sweet little kids that would come out there were amazing. Yeah. We even had teenagers that were coming out and listening to, you know, the stories and crafts that were set for the younger elementary kids. But our teens still stepped up, and they ministered to them. And then Friday night, they were able to come out and worship with us, which was amazing. And our worship nights were awesome. We had Rusty Thomas was our speaker, and he just had something for us each night that was very encouraging. And I just felt for myself that the Lord just worked on my heart to be open to wherever he led us to go, whether it was speaking to somebody new, being bold, which I'm the quiet one, obviously. Nate is the speaker, so he is better at going and meeting people than I am. But it was a great week meeting people. But I would say my favorite part was watching our teens bond with each other and with us. They opened their hearts, and they shared things that were heavy burdens to them. And whether it was just light conversation or deep conversation, it was a great week. I know our girls bonded and built strong friendships, which is awesome. I loved being their female leader, so thank you for sending me. I'll never forget it. It's a very special week to me. So whether it was praying with my girls or laying in my cot, you know, I was between Abby and Elise, and so whether, you know, lights were out, and so we would just sit there and chit-chat to each other about our day and how our, you know, what was going on at the work site or whatever it was, and just being able to share with them, and I love my girls.
Well, also our life changes whenever we're at the work sites, or if we just see people coming by, we have 5 questions that we ask them, and it's just to make sure they know who Jesus is so we can go on and tell them who he is. And so here they are. All right. Do you have any spiritual beliefs?
No, I do not.
Do you believe there's a heaven and hell?
I've thought about it, but I'm not sure.
If you were to die today, where would you go?
If they were real, probably hell.
Why?
I've done bad things.
If you were at heaven's gates right now and Jesus asked you, why should I let you into my kingdom, what would you say?
Well, I've done good things too. Like I've helped little children and I've given candy on ice.
These are just some of the answers that we would get from most people down in Detroit, because a lot of them don't know who Jesus is. And so, yeah.
So at Life Changers this week, God really worked in my life. He opened my eyes up to things that I knew I was struggling with, but I wasn't completely aware of it. And a lot of it was really just allowing God to take control of my life. And I'm a perfectionist, okay? I struggle with being perfect, which is ridiculous because no one can be perfect. So I rededicated my life to Christ this week, and I completely turned over all my burdens to him. And also this week, Jenna and I got to lead worship with the kids for a backyard Bible club. And she played the guitar with a guy named Ryan Manuel, and I sang and shouted, and it was really fun. But I think the best part of it was when the kids, like, we'd allow them to come up, and they'd got to dance and sing in front of their peers, and the looks on their faces were life-changing because they were just so happy, and they don't get a lot of joy where they're from, and just allowing them to interact with each other and lead in front of their peers was really fun. And then lastly, I know Miss Kyla mentioned that some Backyard Bible Club kids got to come on Friday night. One of them was my Backyard Bible Club buddy, Takaya. I've known her for 3 years, and every single year she comes, and she's 14, and she brought her friend Jerisha and their two younger sisters, Kiera and Aaron, and they all got to come, and I think Jerisha accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior on Friday night, so that's great.
So this week, our focus was to be bold. We were challenged to step out of our comfort zone and to share God's love with the kids at the Backyard Bible Club. It was fun to be able to love and cuddle them because, like, the little kids don't experience love at home. This week has opened my eyes to be more grateful of the things that I have.
You know, it's always been an awesome week when I go, and that's kind of like the cherry on top of my banana split when I go to Life Changers, because I'm just pumped up when I go there. And this year, it was, I said, God, I want you to just show me something that I need to improve on, or I need to, you know, to work on. And I'll tell you about the little church that we worked at. The church had burned down many years ago, and at that point, they had all the leaders in the position, and everything was going good for them. Caught on fire and it burned down, and they rebuilt. And I would guess that about 20, 25 years, 30 years, that church is gone, rebuilt, and had been continuing on. But the thing was, when I went in there, walked in the back, I guess my attention was on something else, but you go in the bathroom in the back of the church, and I walked past and forgot to look at the bathroom. I don't know what I was looking at. Walked to the end of the church. I said, well, they don't have any bathrooms down here. So I walk upstairs, nosy me, you know, as I am. Walk around the corner. Oh, there's a bathroom. So take care of business, go out. And I said, I got to see their sanctuary because I really am intrigued by different churches' sanctuaries. Open ceiling, beautiful church. Here's a baby grand piano just like ours sitting in the middle of the floor. And there's chairs and a horseshoe and about 25 chairs sitting there. And I went outside and I said, Luella, I said, I'll bet you it is beautiful to hear the music played on that piano with the open ceiling and everything. And everybody's singing praises around the piano and the pulpit and stuff. And she said, Ray, there's been nobody here to play that piano in the sense the church is burnt down. The piano player died right after the burnout. And she said, nobody's come forward to play. Nobody's even tinkered on it or anything, or, you know, just play a couple of notes. I said, well, how do you worship in church? YouTube videos and a computer screen. And I'm like, wow. I said, hey, wouldn't it be neat if we could get somebody in our Life Changer group to play the piano at the end of the week and come in there and sing a song and praise God for it? Even if the person played the piano and we prayed for the whole week or for the whole group that we were with, wouldn't that be neat? And she said, I would love to hear that piano play. And I went outside and I guess stereotypical, I said, do any of you girls in my maroon group play the piano? And a young man came up to me named Joel, and he said, does it have to be a girl? And I said, no. And I said, do you play the piano? And he says, I'll give it a shot. I said, all right, come on in. So on Thursday, I said, do you need practice? He said, if you give me about 5 minutes, he said, I'll probably be able to pick it up pretty quick. Any song you want to sing, Joel, lead. He said, no problem. I said, even if you chord it, no problem, he says. He goes upstairs, he sits down, he starts playing. And he said, Ray, would you mind if you went out and got Amanda? Because he said, I'm struggling with what chord the pianos, or what chord to sing it in. Okay, I'll speed it up too. Outside, she goes, I took my phone and I put it on record because I heard what he was able to do. And he played Amazing Grace. The guy is a concert pianist. Brenda knows what I'm talking about. Guys, it is not about man. I'm not promoting Joel as a man. I sat in the stairwell of this church crying because he is praising his God. He don't think I'm around. Joel doesn't know I'm there. He is praising his God, and he is singing out unto God, and he's calling on him while he's singing Amazing Grace. He played 7 verses and played it 7 different times, and it was building up and building up and building up and building up, and I just wanted to reach out in the basement and touch the ceiling, touch God, because I knew his presence was upon me. And he finished his song, and he come around the corner, and he seen me crying at the bottom of the stairs, and said, "Ray, are you okay, Ray?" And I said, "My cup has overflown, and I'm drinking from the saucer." Guys, this is what it's about. You're worshiping God in this church right now and lifting your arms and praise up to the Almighty God that loves us from on high. But how are you praising God in your ultimate quietest moments at your home? When you're driving in the car, when you're going down the road, and you're worshiping His name. I believe that Joel was calling on God and lifting up God's God's name. And it's not about Joel. It's about his honor and worship to God Almighty. And God opened my heart to say, that's the way I want to be. It's not what I'm being in the public. I want to be like that in my personal prayer life and in my personal time with God. I want to feel your presence, God. I want to feel your love and your mercy. That boy opened his heart up to me and talked to me the whole week because we had a bonding relationship. And he says, "You really weren't supposed to hear that, Ray. I was just kind of practicing." And he says, "Please don't promote me, but promote God." I say, it's all about God. That's one 10-minute portion of what Life Changers is all about. You can't explain it in 5 minutes. You can't explain it in 5 days. I'm telling you, you want to do something great for God, step out of your comfort zone. Turn the TV off. Sell your used car. Get rid of your hobbies. Sit in a room and listen to music and call on God to direct your path, because each and every one of these guys did that this week. And said, "We can't get through, but Lord, you can get us through." In the story Facing the Giants, the young man gets down on his hands and knees, and he's got a guy on his back. That's a pretty good guy. And he's crawling, and the coach says, "All you got to do is give me your all." And he moves, and he moves, and he moves, and he stops, and he says, "Coach, I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm stressing. I can't do it." And the coach says, "You can't give me one more inch." And he tries another, and he goes another inch. "You can't give me one more inch. No more energy is in your body. I can do one more thing." That's what God does. He gives us the energy, the drive, the strive, the direction, the encouragement. "You can do it," because Thursday we were tired. "You can do it. I need to go witness some more people." "You can do it, Ray Berry. I died for you. I love you. I want you to serve me with all of my might." And that's what Life Changers is about, folks. It's about God, what He did, and I can do it again. I can go and keep moving and keep going forward and keep praising God. And that's what I'll do forever and ever.
Okay, so this was my 5th year going to Life Changers. Every year I feel God touching my heart and leading me into the missions work. Miss Kyla has been praying for me about this life decision. And I am strongly committed to helping others. This year, I met a little boy at Backyard Bible Club, and his name was Demarion. He was so sweet. So I gave him a pack of fruit snacks, and it was like, because I mentored and prayed with him and talked to him about Jesus the 2 days that I had him. And with that pack of fruit snacks, he shared it with his 4 siblings. And it was just so humbling to see that something so simple meant so much to him. And he promised me that he would come back next year. And this is why I go to Life Changers, to show God's love to the world.
Amen.
Okay, at Life Changers, one of my favorite parts was being able to see God work through me and my entire crew as we worked on the job sites, and to be able to bond with my friends and new friends that I made. Also, Pastor Rusty inspired lots of us Life Changers to be bold and go out and serve him. Plus, I met the sweetest 76-year-old named Betsy.
So first of all, I just wanted to say that, like, I can't even, capture all of the things that happened in Life Changers on a little note card. So this is the best I could do. Before Life Changers, I didn't know everyone on a personal level. On the first few days, I got to know all the girls very well, and I thank God for it. A good example would be Abby. I got to know her and her relationship with God very well. For two nights, me and her got to pray with Miss Kyla during worship. On the last day of Backyard Bible Camp, me and a girl named Candy prayed for a mother there and got to give her a Bible. It moved me a lot because it was my first time sharing the gospel last week, and I thought a lot about it and the rest of the day. I will never forget that.
Hello. I'm Topher, as Ray said. Thank you. I am a person who struggles with fright of stages, fright of going up in front of people. And God had moved me this week and Wednesday to where I went up in front of Life Changers and I gave my testimony. First time I've ever truly done it in a stage of more than five people. So it was a big step up to see how God had changed me and giving me the ability to talk in front of a group of people.
Amen. So this was my first year of Life Changers, and I thought it was really great. Like, I do a lot of camps like this. Like, I do BLBC, and now I've done Life Changers. It was very humbling, and on Thursday, while we were at Life Changers, I just remember thinking, what if none of this is real? I don't mean like a dream or anything like that, but I mean, was it just an emotional high? Would we just fall back into our regular routine when we got back here? And that really scared me. But that night, I felt God just telling me that I really did get to know the people in my youth group, and that they had gotten to know me. And I really do believe that we can trust each other more. I think that God has used Life Changers for us to make us all for the better.
I'm the caboose. But I'm just going to piggyback with Ray, because I think after listening to Ray, we see that there's a preacher being missed right now. I think Ray could be a preacher. Not because he's Ray, but because he speaks from the heart. And this week, we had, you see our shirts, some of us have stains just from this morning even. But it's hashtag be bold. And we're going into a city, or Life Changers is going into a city that is against us. We're faced with a lot of different things. We're faced with a lot of different fears, where we're going to be at, who we're going to be actually working at, working around, who's on the streets. The devil is just, he's there constantly trying to pull us away. And I thought it was a great statement this week, the hashtag be bold. It says in Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And this week, looking at our teens, and there was a lot of teens that didn't go, and we love each and every teen, not just the ones that came, but all the teens that are in our church. But we were going someplace where we had no idea what was going to happen to us. There was that fear of being in downtown Detroit. I actually took a trip a little bit further away than I should have because I had no idea where I was at, and I had to get to a hardware store, and I was going downtown. And I'm trying to read signs, and because I thought our team was the Mystic Misfits, and it fit us well. And we were the very north team that was the north side of everybody else, and we were right next to the Grand River. And you start going across Grand River, you start going deeper into areas that you don't really want to be in, especially as a suburban white guy with a shaved head. But I went because I was lost, just going through a direction. But it made me realize that this verse right here, if my phone doesn't die on me, it just made me realize that why do we fear? Why do we fear? And I challenge the teens a lot this week in our Bible time, discussion times. And one of the things I challenged them was, when we look into the mirror, when we wake up, who do we see? Do we see ourselves, or do we see the image of God? The Bible tells us that we are supposed to be Christ-like, and that God's supposed to shine through us daily in everything that we do, not just at Life Changers. I challenged them through the channel this week that to look into their own hearts, to look at their own life, to look in the mirror and see, am I being bold for the Lord? It's easy to say yes when we're at Life Changers because we're at an event that's promoting God, but I'm talking everyday life, and I challenge you as well as adults sitting out there, and I even challenge myself because I think I find myself being bold in certain areas and not bold in other areas because I'm afraid of what man will do. I'm afraid of what man shall do unto me, whether make fun of me or discard me or whatever. But one of the things that we looked at this week was getting out of our comfort zone. And one of the things I did this week was I was picking people that stayed in their comfort zone, and I was pushing them out, which helped me push myself out of my comfort zone. But I was pushing them out, and I often said that I was the weird guy because I would go up to them and just do random things to try to get them to get out of their comfort zone. But one of the verses or one of the things I've talked about was Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And that is, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto our own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will guide our paths or direct our paths. Something that hit me at home, that I love that verse because throughout my life growing up, and even with these teens, we often don't want to go through the door that Christ has for us. We often don't want to go to Life Changers because that door is open, but we fear what might actually happen. What might God actually do in our lives? And I tell you this week, you know, Ray is Mr. Life Changer. He is. He truly is. He's Mr. Life Changer here, and he is Mr. Life Changer at Life Changers. Everybody knows Ray. Everybody loves Ray, and everybody wants to be Ray, wearing his Hawaiian shirts. He is truly an amazing man. And I thank God that I walked through that door a year and a half ago and said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, that's where I'm going to go. And it allowed me to meet Ray. It allowed me to be here in this church and meet these teens and be with these teens and help lead these teens to be bold for God. And because it's not about ourselves. It really isn't. And sharing that verse with them just during testimony time was Wednesday night. And that, you know, that week, that night just, it really hit me hard. Because we often walk through those doors, but then we still walk through the same doors that we want to walk through. And God says, just give it all to me. And you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be filled with anxiety. Your stomach doesn't have to hurt anymore. If you read on in verse 7, it tells us he is going to heal us. He is going to comfort us if we do that. So this week, it was just an amazing week. It truly was. I met a lot of leaders, youth leaders, that are on fire for God. They're on fire for the teens, to help the teens be bold in their lives, to help the teens stand up for Christ. And I thank Ray for coming up to me and saying, Nate, you're going. You don't have a choice. And because I was not going to go. I have a lot on my plate with work and doing youth and just a lot of other things. And I wasn't going to go. I told Kyle, I was like, Mr. Life Changer is going to go. He's awesome at it. I'm just going to let Ray take charge and take the teens. But then Ray came up to me and said, you're going. You don't have a choice. And I said, okay, Ray, I don't have a choice. But that's Ray being bold. That's Ray being Ray. But I watched Ray this week, and I watched all our teens, And that's something that I like to do is observe the people around me. And I watched just hearts breaking. I watched hearts melting. I watched hearts grow for each other. I saw relationships. But more important, I saw connection with our teens, with all the other teens. And I saw relationships being built, not with just amongst our group, which I think our group's the best. You know, I think they were the best there. Not that I'm biased or anything, but they truly were. I think they truly were. Their focus wasn't on anything but serving. And that's what we wanted to make sure as leaders, is that was their focus. You know, one of the things we told them not to do was bring their cell phones, and they stuck by it. They might have looked at things at night, but during the day, their focus was on serving. And it was just a blessing to see that. And, I can keep going on and on and on, but I'm going to stop. And one of the things that we challenge these teens is to be bold. And one of the things that I know the teens are going to challenge all you guys now and for days to come is for you guys to be bold for Christ as well. So I thank you guys for allowing us to go each year that Ray has been able to go. I think, how many years? Have you been there 21 years? 20? Ray's been doing this for 20 years. And they've only been around 21. So he's been there from the very beginning. And it's just amazing. And I'm glad I got to share what Ray has always brought back, the joy that Ray has. And I got to experience that as well. And I just pray that we don't just stop at the end of this week, that we don't just get back into our routine and let the world grab a hold of us and pull us back. I hope and pray that we grab a hold of the world and show the world what God means to us. So thank you, guys.
All right, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church for 10 minutes. All right? 10 minutes. All right. Let's take our Bibles real quick. I want to piggyback on what they just talked about. As a church, we've experienced some incredible things here because we just had a week of vacation Bible school where we had over 75 adults and teens that were working in vacation Bible school and got to see God do some great things. Our teens just went to Life Changers. We've had some work going on at the Rickman House and some things happening in the community. And you know what, 12th Street? God's doing great things. But here's what happens when God does great things. Turn to Judges chapter 9. God had just done some great things. Last week we looked in the life of Gideon. I mean, 300 men took on an army of over 135,000, and the 300 came out victorious because God is great and Gideon was bold. But Gideon, at the end, he was asked, "Will you be our king? Will your sons be our king?" And he said, "No, God is your king." But then he took some money, he made an idol, and he put it in a house, and it was called Baal Berith. And before Gideon could even get the victory, God had told him, "You need to tear down your father's idol." When he tore down his father's idol, they wanted to kill Gideon, and Gideon's father said, "His name will no longer be Gideon, it will be Jerubbaal," which means Baal will plead against him. So whether Gideon, his success as a man would be found, the legacy that he left for his children and for the rest of the children of Israel, it would either be in the fact that he stayed true to God or if he left behind an idol. And what did Gideon do at the end of his life? He left behind an idol. After all the great successes, after seeing his people delivered by a small army of 300 men, Gideon left behind an idol. And now when we get to chapter 9, it says, verse 1, "And Abimelech the son of Jerubbaal, from now on in the scriptures, Gideon will no longer be called Gideon, he will be called Jerubbaal." And that's a challenge to every single parent of these teens here, and every single parent of the children that were at Vacation Bible School. This is a challenge to us. This is a challenge for every adult that's in this room. You will either leave a legacy of Gideon for your children or a legacy of Jerubbaal. You will either leave victory for your children, and when they experience victory, you'll either bring them to more victory, or you will leave Jerubbaal for them, where they will be left with an idol. They'll experience short victories, but then they'll be left with a great idol. And it's up to us what we leave. So here's what happens with Abimelech. He goes to Shechem. Read Genesis 34 to know about this whole story about Shechem. And Jerubbaal's mother was from the city of Shechem. He says, do you want 70 sons of Gideon to rule over you, or Jerubbaal to rule over you, or me? And they say, well, you're one of us. Let's have you rule over us. And so he takes and gathers together all 70 sons of Jerubbaal, or Gideon, and he kills them on a rock. One of the sons escapes. His name is Jotham. And in verse 7, Jotham went and stood in the town of the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried out. And he shares a parable, a story. And this story, for all of you young people to Life Changers, for Nate and Kyla and for Ray and for all of us, this story, it means something very substantial. He says, the trees went out to look for a king over them. And they went first to the olive tree. In verse 8, they said, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, should I leave the fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man? Because the olive tree produced olives, good for eating, good for oils, good for anointing, all for the service of God, for the work of God. And the olive tree said, no, I've got more important things to do. And so the trees went to the next tree. They went to the fig tree in verse 10. And in verse 11, the fig tree says, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go and be promoted above all the trees? He says, no, I'm going to stay with doing what God wants me to do. I was created to produce good fruit, not to be a king. So then it went to the vine in verse 12. And in verse 13, the vine says, should I leave my wine which cheers God and man and go and be promoted over the trees? No, I'm going to do what I was created to do. I'm going to be faithful to what I'm called to. So then they went to the bramble. The bramble is a thorny little bush. Think of a blackberry bush, okay? Very similar to a bramble, okay? And the bramble said, well, come put yourself under my shadow. Think of all the tall trees. Think of the tallest tree that you can imagine. And the bramble says, put yourself underneath my shadow. And if you don't obey me, I will cause fire to burn you. And then as Jotham leaves, he says to both Gideon and the men of Shechem, he says, or not to Gideon, to Abimelech, he says, Abimelech, son of Gideon, you killed all of our brothers. He says, God is going to put an evil spirit between you and the men of Shechem. You will burn them and they will burn you. A whole bunch of stuff happens. We're going to skip through all the stuff that happens. And Jotham gets away, he's safe. Abimelech starts to have trouble with the men of Shechem. And if you skip all the way down to verse 45, Abimelech fought against the city, and he overcame the city, he destroyed it, and he sowed the city with salt. By doing that, he made it's now uninhabitable. You can't farm there. You can't grow anything there. It's now just a wasteland. And so Abimelech sows the whole city with salt. And then the men of the city of Shechem, they get into this tower, and they hide in this tower. And Abimelech cuts down a tree branch. He tells all the men that are with him, cut down the tree branch. They cut it down. They lean it up against the tower. They set it on fire, and they kill 1,000 people in that tower. He gets a power trip going on in his head. He goes to the next city, the city of Thebes. And when he gets there, they all hide into a tower, and he's like, all right, let's burn them out. And so he cuts down another branch, and he walks over to the door of the tower, and a woman's up at the top of the tower. She's got a piece of rock, a piece of a millstone. She takes it, and she drops it, and it lands on his head, crushes his skull, and that is the end of Abimelech. And you're going, whoa, that's a depressing story. No, this is what happens when we leave Jerubbaal for our children instead of Gideon. This is what happens when we don't leave victory in front of our children. This is what happens when we leave idols. And so this morning, I want to challenge you. This fire that's going on with these young people, nothing puts it out quicker than a parent that's putting out idols. Nothing puts it out quicker than a church member or a church friend that throws an idol in front of them. But what will keep it going, that fire, that encouragement, that zest, that boldness, is when we step up alongside of them and we join with them. And Nate was saying that Ray's enthusiasm is contagious, right? Let's let our enthusiasm for the Lord be contagious with the teens, and let's let theirs be contagious with us. If you got your bulletin, here are the blanks. Abimelech went against his father's wishes. He became king. There was supposed to be no king. He left his father's faith. His father's faith was in God. He followed his father's idol. Parents, your children will always find your idol more appealing than your faith. So keep your faith in God and remove the idols from your life. Fourth, he had a brief run of success. Fifth, he lost everything. Sixth, he reaped what he sowed. We see these extraordinary works of God. We saw Robert get baptized this morning. We see the teens share their testimonies. And you know what the devil's going to try to do? He's going to try to destroy all of that work. And he's going to use your relationship to do that. Inside of every one of us is either a Gideon or a Jerubbaal. Be a Gideon. Let's pray. Lord God, I love you. I thank you for what you have done in the lives of these teens. I thank you, Lord, that they're excited. Lord, they're looking forward to a great future. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this morning to baptize Robert, and Lord, to see the hope that's in his eyes, to see the future looking bright. And God, it is. Because when we live in faith, you do amazing things. And so, God, this morning, I pray that you would help every single one of us to identify the idols that are in our lives, and that we would cut them down, we would pull them out, we would get them extinguished by the root, and we would allow for the faith to be seen instead of the idol. And God, I just pray that we would be open with you this morning. We'd be honest with you. Lord, if anyone has never come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's impossible to remove the idols until Jesus Christ sits as Lord of their life. And so, Lord, I pray if anyone here has never trusted in Jesus Christ, that gospel that Bryce shared with us this morning with those five questions, Lord, they can know that they're on their way to heaven if they just trust in Jesus Christ and if they commit their life to him. Lord, you will save them. And so now as we close out this time, as we reflect upon testimony, I thank you for the testimonies that have been shared. Help us, Lord, to build great testimonies for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand here together as we close. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to be standing at the front. Love to share with you how you can trust Jesus Christ. And if living in your life, you hear all this excitement and you go, you know what, I don't have any of that going on in my life. God wants that for you. God desires that. And so maybe you just need to come and you need to kneel down and say, God, the idol that I've got, I want to tear it down this morning. Leave it with him. And this morning, God's going to give us great victory. Let's sing this together.
Hope beyond measure, love beyond cost. Truth so compelling, I came to the cross. Now beauty from ashes, forgiven and free, all because Jesus is living in me. And because of Christ, salvation is my song, and on that cross, he died and I was born. now dead forevermore. Part of my chains, stains washed away because of Jesus. Bread for my hunger, blood for my sin, provisions from heaven have changed me within. His grace is sufficient, His love will not cease. So all because Jesus is living in me. Because of Christ, salvation is my song. And on that cross, He died and I was born. The power of sin, now dead forevermore. Gone are my chains, stains washed away. Because of Jesus. Now it is by grace that I have been saved through faith. A triumph that's not of my own, but a gift from God. Yes, a gift from God. And because of Christ, salvation is my song. And on that cross, He died and I was born. The power of sin, now dead forevermore. Part of my chains, stains washed away because of Jesus.
To invite Robert Pritchard, if you could go to the back, and we're going to extend to Robert the right hand of fellowship. As I need a first to accept Robert into membership at the church. I have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Robert, welcome to 12th Street Baptist Church. So make sure you shake Robert's hand on the way out and let him know that. That you're going to be praying for him and God is with him. I forgot an announcement. Men, the softball game Tuesday is canceled. Okay? So you don't play this week. And so you can play Monday night at 6:30. They need help for the intramural. All right. Let's pray here together. Lord God, you are so great. I thank you for what you do. You don't want your work in us just to be at special events. You want to be with us all the time. I pray that every single one of us will take a little bit of time this week, find a nice quiet place, and to bring praises to you, whether it's through song or prayer. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done this morning. Thank you, Lord, for Caitlin singing this morning. What a beautiful thing you've given to her to share with us. Thank you for your love that never runs out on us. And so, God, as we go from here, we pray that your richest blessings would be with us. I thank you for the testimony that you give to us. It's all because of Jesus. So now to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be glory and honor and power and dominion both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.